Mirandilla.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So today's class is to begin and hopefully complete the study of Tehillim 45, Psalm 45. You can find your handout on the unique astrological times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yashem webpage, or at the bottom of the page if you're using a mobile device. When you open up the unique astrological times page, scroll down about 2 inches to the Tanit Dibur section. There are two links there, but today you will only need one. The first one, called the Psalms landing page, or the second one. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to Tehillim 45, Psalm 45, which is where we will begin. Today will be an unusual manner because we have an additional commentary on Psalm 45 that was sent to me by Hannah. So I'm utilizing that as well as what our normal patterns will be. We'll be moving back and forth, as you will see. And I will start with a L'shem Yichud. Are there any questions before we begin?
No.
L'shem Yichud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bit Hilu, Urchimu, Hilu, Uthilu, Urchimu. Leakta, L'shem, Yud He, Bobalte, Beyichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Chol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asot Torah Mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konanei aleinu maasei yadeinu konaneihu. Rabbi Sutton has not yet completed his translation of Psalm 45. And we will use two other translations, which one will be the link below, and then below the link there is a additional translation. The psalmist, which is normally thought of as King David, speaks of the numerous wonders that God has wrought for the Jewish people, asking, who can articulate his might? I would relate and speak of them, but they are too numerous to recount. He created the world and split the sea for the sake of Israel. Yet he desires no sacrifices, only that we listen to his voice. This is the Kavanah, to contemplate as we say this psalm. There are other Kavanot, as we will learn. This is the traditional one. The first word is Lam Natseah, and I highly recommend that you read the introduction that Rabbi Sutton prepared as part of his translations, called the Yearning for Redemption PDF. There are 18 verses in Psalm 45, and 18, the number 18, is the gematria of the Hebrew word chai, which translates as life. It is a connection to life. There is now the link to open up, and then when the link opens up, please scroll down to Psalm 45. This is opening up the Mechon Mamre website having to do with the Psalms. The Mechon Mamre website has a full English translation and Hebrew, proper and correct vowel Hebrew, for all of the Tanakh. Chapter 45. Lam Natseach Al Shoshanim Livnei Korach Maskil Shir Yedidot. For the leader upon Shoshanim of the sons of Korach, Maskil, a song of loves. One word that is not being translated is Shoshanim. Now, if we return to the Psalms landing page and scroll down slightly, we have another commentary by Yair Davidi. And you can see that the translation is slightly different. The last word is a song of endearment rather than loves. Shoshanim, in Hebrew, this word usually means a rose. The Radak, Kimchi, which is one of the commentators on various aspects of the Tanakh, says that here it refers to a kind of musical instrument. I am adding, in the Sulam commentary to the Zohar that we read, in the prologue section, in number one, it explains that the word Shoshanim refers to the 13 tribes of the children of Israel. So if we were to translate Shoshanim, then the translation in English would be to the chief conductor, the musician, upon the 13 tribes, by the sons of Korach, a maskil, which is a type of psalm, a song of loves. For me, that makes more sense, just looking at the one verse. And continuing with the Yair Davidi translation, the sons of Korach were one of the clans of Levites who comprised the choir that sang during the temple service. Now, I would suggest you scroll down so you can see all of the verse 2, but we're not going to go there just yet. We're returning to the Mechon Mamre, where we're going to count the words of this verse, first verse. There are 8 words which connects to the Sefirah of Bina. There are 32 letters, which connects to the 32 paths of wisdom associated with the Sefirah of Chokmah. And Bina and Chokmah and Keter are referred to as the Gimel Rishonot, the first three, the beginning three. it's an indication that the mental states, the mental consciousnesses, which was Keter, the crown, outside of the body, Chokhmah, which is wisdom, and Bina, which is understanding. These three are always unified. They never separate. So if in many times we will discuss where we're connecting to the Sephirah of Bina, but it also means we're connecting also to Chokhmah and Bina and Keter. And this is something that takes a lot of contemplation as to why that happens, why that is, and how we can utilize that information in our life. It's not something that is easily taught, and that's why this is probably the first time you've heard me discuss it. We discuss it more extensively in the 10 Luminous Emanations classes. And you're beginning to get a sense of why we may not finish in our normal time the whole psalm today. Rahash libi divar tov omer ani masai lamelech lishoni et sofer. My heart overflows with a goodly matter. I say, my work is concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Twelve words which connect to the 12 tribes of Israel. Letters which connects to the word im, aleph mem, which means mother, which connects to Bina. This verse seems to have a lot of subjects that are not really, they don't flow together, they're not logical, but it is a connection of the 12 tribes, the people of Israel, whichever tribe your soul comes from. This verse connects you to Bina, connecting the 12 tribes to Bina. It's a very powerful concept. Now let us return to the additional translation. My heart is astir with a good theme. I say, my works are for a king. My tongue is like the pen of a skillful scribe. Now this translation seems to make more sense, doesn't it? The Radak, we mentioned earlier, says that the king that is spoken of is the future Messiah. But as we have been taught, there are three messiahs. Normally, we speak more often of two messiahs, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, or Mashiach ben Ephraim. The third one represents the high priest, the Mashiach ben Aaron HaKodesh. The writer of this psalm, King David, is saying that his deeds and writings are for the sake of the Messiah, An additional commentator called the Ma'ari explains this psalm to have been said by David concerning the future rule of his son, King Solomon, from whose lineage the future Mashiach will descend. So Ma'ari is saying that this verse speaks at the time of King David, but it also speaks of a future time. And this is something that it's important to realize. Every verse in the Psalms, as well as every verse in the Tanakh, speaks to each person in every generation. It applies to each of us individually, as well as the nation collectively. And it's a very difficult concept to understand, that this verse that connects the 12 tribes, which don't exist anymore in the sense that every Jewish person has been connected to the tribe of Yehuda. But the other 11 tribes are not really present. Benjamin, to a very small extent, is included within the tribe of Yehuda. And the 10 are missing. But here we're being taught by the Ma'ari that they're connected. That we don't know where our soul comes from. Which of the 12 tribes does our soul connect to? In my journeys of the study of Kabbalah, I have met many people, some of which are very comfortable praying three times a day, and others who are very uncomfortable praying three times a day. What makes them uncomfortable? It's because their soul is not coming from the tribe of Yehuda, because the pattern of daily prayer being done in the Jewish world today is based on the pattern of prayer from the tribe of Yehuda. But there are 12 different methods of praying to Hashem, 12 different paths. 12 different gates of prayer. And about 600 years ago, the Ari created or revealed, better word, revealed the 13th gate of prayer. And the order and the words that he utilizes, and he never wrote the whole thing down. He just explained it by saying, in this prayer, there should be 45 words. And in this prayer, there should be 32 words. But he never told us what those words were. So if in the tribe of Yehuda, a perfect example is the prayer that we all say after going to the bathroom. If you look in older Siddurim, you'll find that there's a missing word. There are only 44 words in the prayer. But he told us there needs to be 45. And I know the Kabbalah Center spent a lot of time researching where older Siddurim to find a place where the 45th word existed, so they would know what the exact word was. And it turned out to be the word Aleph Vav. But they put that in the verse, and it's part of their Siddurim. It's part of what I was taught when I became Baal Tshuva. And I've noticed that there are many places where there are now 45 words in the Siddurim that is developed. That was not true 25 years ago when I first started to study. That's just an example of what the 13th gate represents. Let's go return to the Nechon Mamre for the third verse. Yaf yafita mi b'nei adam chutzachen b'sivtotecha. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured upon thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. I'm going to point out to you in this translation, you'll see the letter N. Where does it appear? In the Hebrew. There are the two dashes after the word Adam, meaning men. And there's a comma after the word Chen. That's the nun, that's the N. It's saying that there's a space in the scroll of the Psalms. You didn't know that there was a scroll of the Psalms? The Psalms are all written in one scroll, just like the Torah is the five books of Moses in one scroll. But then the prophets, each prophet has its own scroll. So there's a scroll for the judges. There's a scroll for Samuel. Not two, as we say, chapter one, First Samuel and Second Samuel. There's only one scroll of Samuel. There's a scroll for Isaiah. There is a scroll for the 12 minor prophets. It's not that they're minor prophets. It's that what was codified in the Tanakh was very few of their verses. So it was all put into one scroll. The Proverbs has its own scroll, and the Psalms, Tehillim, has its own scroll, consisting of 150 chapters. And those chapters have spaces between the chapters, but also in places that are unusual, like after Adam and after the word Chen. It's telling us that these things don't really connect. There needs to be a pause of some form. On an overall, every space in the Torah scroll, every space in any scroll, represents the light of Hashem that needs to be injected into your consciousness at that moment. And that's what happens as your eyes scroll, as your eyes pass over that space. In the third verse, there are 11 words. 11 is the 10 Sephirot plus the negative system. The 11 as well represents the 11 components of the Ketoret, which brings you closer to Hashem. 75 letters is the gematria of the word Adam, which means mankind, as well as the name of the first person, as well as a proper name in our modern generation. Let us return to the Psalms landing page and the translation commentary on the third verse. You are beautiful beyond other men. Charm is poured from your lips. Therefore, God hath blessed you for eternity. You have perfected the power of speech, to speak well before Hashem, who as a result has rewarded you. This is a commentary trying to explain in less poetic language the verse. But I have to explain to you, if you look at this translation, you are beautiful beyond other men. Now go back to the Psalms landing page and look at the Hebrew. It doesn't really say the word beautiful, it says the word good, tov. And devar means a word or a thing. Libi is my heart. Rachash obviously means overflow. So the translation here does make sense. Then it says, I speak. I'm in the wrong verse, my mistake. I was doing three, not two. But in the third verse, the translation, thou art fairer than the children of men, while in the earlier or the Psalms landing page translation, you are beautiful beyond other men. Is fairer and beauty the same thing? I returned. Sorry for the disconnection. Sometimes when people call in and I'm on a conference call, that happens. But I was starting to explain that these differences in opinions on the translations are meaningful, and it's helpful to look at different translations. This second part where it says, charm is poured upon your lips. And here the word is grace is poured upon your lips. in the Nahon Mamre translation. What is the word that's different? It's the word hen. Het nun. Now, since this is the first two letters of my name, Chanoch, I'm familiar. I've delved into the meaning of these two letters and what this word hen, which is usually translated as graced in modern times, means. And it's an anagram for the phrase Chachma Nestar, translating Chachma, you know, is wisdom. Nestar means concealed or hidden. I've asked you before, what's the definition of grace? What does somebody mean by grace when they use it? Or charm. What is the meaning of charm if we use the other translation? And it's really a connection to the concealed wisdom. That's the meaning of grace. That's the meaning of charm in this case. I wouldn't use charm, but at the time of this translation, which might be over 100 years ago, I don't really know, charm might have been the appropriate translation for that generation. And that's the important thing to understand. And after my commentary, it may make more sense for you to read that second sentence. You have perfected the power of speech to speak well before Hashem, who as a result has rewarded you. That may be more clear meaning to you now of this third verse. May not. Scroll up to the fourth verse. And as we return to the Hebrew, Ha Agor Harbecha Al Yarech Gibor Ho Ta Zachadarecha. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Mighty One, thy glory and thy majesty. Does this seem poetic in that translation? Remember, in the scroll itself, you do not have those two dashes. This is somebody's punctuation, trying to say that this is where a comma goes. Seven words connecting to the seven lower sephirot. Twenty-six letters, gematria of Hashem's name, Yud Hey Vav Hey. This verse is a connection to Zeranpin and Malchut in unity. It's a connection for us representing the Malchut to connect to Zeranpin. Returning to the Psalms landing page and the additional commentary. Essentially, the English translation is the same or similar enough. It needs no additional comment. But now, the time of the Messiah will be an era of peace, but it will be necessary to wage war in order to achieve it. And I am adding, there is only one war, and it is waged daily against the desire to receive for oneself alone. The commentary is saying that we're talking about the Messiah and that there will be an era of peace. But prior to that era of peace, there needs to be a war. Now, in our modern age, if you listen to the airwaves, whether it's radio or television, and you hear all about the Armageddon War constantly being referred to as it must happen, chas v'shalom, it does not have to happen. The Kabbalah is being revealed in our generation as a protection shield for people not to have the consciousness that the Armageddon War will happen, chas v'shalom. It does not have to happen. And your consciousness has to change to know with certainty that it does not have to happen. There is a war. The statement is not false, but the meaning of that war is not the Armageddon War. It's your internal war against your desire to receive for oneself alone. I'd like to be shouting this into your ears to awaken you to this truth. I say it often. Probably not often enough. Yesterday, one of the people that I know in this building needed to talk with me. So I went to his room, and that's very unusual that people go to other people's rooms. We meet in the hallways. We meet in the lobbies. There's plenty of seats where we can meet and speak privately. But he asked me to come to his room because he needed to talk to me about what his doctor had said to him. Not the specifics. He didn't tell me the specifics. He just said, I asked, how are you? He said, I'm not well. I said, how can I help? He said, the doctor has given me weeks, and I don't want to suffer. Can you help? And as students of Kabbalah, you know I can help in that regard. I can help in many different ways. Does that soul want, is that soul ready to leave and wants to leave, so it's not willing to fight, but is just afraid of the pain of the process of death? What is the concern? For me, I'm going to live at least 300 more years. And I don't believe doctors when they say your average lifespan is 85 years. I have to get that across to a gentleman who has not studied Kabbalah. Perhaps Hashem will help me to help him. I know Hashem will help me to help him for what is right for him, because there's free choice in this regard. But as the poem says, rail against the dying of the light, rail against this darkness that consumes our world in the illusion of this world. Strive to see the light Is this a commentary on the third verse? Is it a commentary on the fourth verse? Let us continue to finish the commentary on the fourth verse. O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, literally the Hebrew seems to say, gird your sword upon your thigh, O hero. The Hebrew word is gibor, which means a mighty one, a strong one. Gibor is a man of strength. Your glory and your majesty. The Radak interprets this to mean that through the sword will the glory and majesty of the Messiah be realized. And that's a true statement. But it doesn't mean the Armageddon War. It means you have to fight with the sword, which is the Shema Yisrael. And the glory and the majesty, which is your connection to Hashem. My written commentary. This mighty and glory and majesty is referring to Mashiach ben Yosef, which is also known as Mashiach ben Ephraim. And the Kabbalah explains that a sword is a metaphor for the Shema Yisrael and the unification statement, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, followed by the grounding of the excess energy. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vahed. We will do one more verse today. As you can see, I'm taking an extensive amount of commentary. I'm taking this opportunity to bring a lot of different thoughts and subjects to bear, because it takes a significant amount of contemplation to arrive at certainty. It takes an intertwining of the word Vadai, Vav Dalet Aleph Yud, with your Hebrew name, with your name in Hebrew letters. Intertwine them. If you're not sure how to do it, send me an email requesting that. I will send it back to you with the intertwining. But this is a meditation that needs to be done letter by letter every day. In my case, Chanoch is Het Nun Vav Kaf Sofit. Vadai is certainty. Vav Dalet Aleph Yud. Vav Het Dalet Nun. Aleph Vav. Yud Kaf Sofit. I look at these letters, I say these letters exactly as I did just now, many times during the day, because there can never be enough certainty. Certainty is not a level of consciousness that is stagnant. You can't have 100% certainty, because there's always more certainty to grow into. The fifth verse. Actually, I'm going to stop here with just doing the four verses, because we only have 10 minutes left in the class. So I will stop the class here, and we will pick it up next week where we left off, starting at the fifth verse. Does anybody have any questions? The 10 minutes is not sufficient time to do the fifth verse the way I want it to be done in this class. That's why I'm stopping. Are there any questions? I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom. The energy of the Shabbat is Vayigash, is about the unity of Joseph and Yehuda. Vayigash, and Yehuda approached Joseph. Yehuda didn't know that Joseph was Joseph. He was approaching a king. But Yehuda is a king. So one king approaches another king. This is the way you need to perceive the world as you approach another human being to help and assist them, to talk with them, to love the soul within them, and to hate the actions that are negative, your own actions and that person's actions. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Hanok. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Shalom to all.
Shalom.